Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today.
There comes a time in every person's life when you have an encounter with Christ through faith. There comes a time that God gives you the opportunity to step from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The point is that God Almighty put you on this earth at this specific time for a specific purpose. Every person sitting in this auditorium and every person listening to this by television in America or around the world, you have a specific purpose. You have a divine destiny. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your teenage children. Our hope is a blessed hope. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the great physician that heals all sicknesses and diseases. He is the mighty conqueror. Our help is in the Lord. Give him praise in the house. Will you stand for the reading of God's Word? Turn with us to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, as we talk today about the God of Peace. Today we are concluding volume 1 of the sermon series, Knowing God, with the sermon, The God of Peace. So we have talked about knowing God, the God of hope, and today, the God of Peace. Today, under the bold leadership of our president, America is recovering from the chaos and confusion of the past 4 years. Can you believe it? He's actually demanding that the people who work for the government should actually go to work before they get paid. He's working overtime to bring peace to Israel in a war that Hamas began that has taken so many Israelis' lives. The Bible promises every person on this earth. Genesis 12, God speaking to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. The blessing of God will rest upon Donald Trump for blessing Israel, and the curse of God will be on Iran, Hamas, from this day forevermore. Our public schools have become cesspools of corruption, teaching your children that there is a superior race, which is a communist doctrine. They teach a critical race theory. They teach your children that your parents can't fully understand what you're being taught here, so you shouldn't discuss with them what you hear at the public school. That is the subversion of the authority of the parents. Let me say this one more time. Your children belong to you, not the state. Our universities are planting the poison of anti-Semitism, where Jewish students are spit upon and publicly humiliated. Synagogues have been burned and Jewish people have been running down the streets to save their lives. Our churches in America are embracing what I call a hot tub Christianity that teaches you how to adjust to your sin. Not confess and forsake your sin, but just accept that's the way I am and God made me this way, etc., etc. Many churches are divided because there's no peace between brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. You can sing peace, peace, wonderful peace, and never have it until you meet God's conditions to have peace. Most today do not have peace of mind. Statistics indicate that America represents 6% of the world's population, but we take 90% of the tranquilizers. Think about that. Many do not have the peace of God in their marriages. They do not have it in their families. They do not have it in the workplace. They do not have it with God Almighty. So let's open the Word of God this morning to discover the secret of lasting peace. Peace that surpasses understanding. Peace in the darkest valley you will ever live. Peace in the midst of storm. Peace in the midst of a national conflict. This message can save your family, your marriage, your church, your career, your mind and body, and your eternal soul. Let's read Matthew 5 and 9 together. Ready? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're the creator of heaven and earth. You're the God that calls the stars by name, and you hold the seven seas in the palms of your hand. Your might and your grandeur is greater than the minds of men can understand. We gather in your house today, searching for the priceless treasure of peace. Let us find it in the obedience of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said amen. You may be seated. Let's begin with this. Everyone wants peace, but what is it? The search for peace has become an international obsession. We live in the age of anxiety. Americans live behind locked doors in fear. Every home has burglar alarms, burglar bars over the windows. Guns are cocked and loaded on the nightstand. Attack dogs are on the leash. Gangs rule the streets in a reign of terror like America has never known. Women carry mace just in case. A woman is raped every 68 minutes in the United States of America, every 68 seconds in the United States of America. 13.7 million undocumented illegal aliens have poured across the southern borders of the United States. These people are criminals, drug lords, sex traffickers, and terrorists. They are not here to do well for us. We write books about peace of mind and they sell like hotcakes. Why? Because we're looking for in a book what we don't have in our lives. So what is peace? If you can't define it, you don't know if you found it. Peace is the precious gift of God. The ancient poet said, "Heap upon men the treasures of the world, but give to me the blessing of the untroubled heart." We are an uptight generation. There are many things we desire. This nation desires health, love, riches, beauty, talent, power, and fame. But without peace of mind, that's simply not possible. If we have peace, no matter what else we may lack, life is beautiful. Without peace, a palace of gold is a penitentiary. Think about that. Without peace, a palace of gold is a penitentiary. What is peace? The absence of strife is not peace. At the moment Jesus was speaking about peace in Matthew 5, there was no war on the earth, but neither was there peace, because the Roman Empire ruled with such brutality, no one dared to object to their authority. The people had lost all means and the will to fight. Rome kept peace through fear. The Jews were not at war with Rome because they fear forced them to swallow their hatred and submit with sullen rage to their misfortune. The absence of strife does not mean you're at peace. You're just too tired to fight. Let me explain that a little bit better. When I was a child, my father pastored a church in the country. My father liked to hunt. He had always four or five large hunting dogs. And there were two of those dogs that just hated each other. Nothing you could do to make them like each other. So they put them in separate pens. One Saturday afternoon when my dad was gone, in the summer, days were boring, I looked out and saw those two dogs. So I opened the pen and let them get together. I mean, they fought. You would pay a television to watch a fight like that. And then they laid down in the green grass. and looked at each other. Now, if you had walked by them when they were laying in the grass, just looking at each other, you would say, oh, what peace. No, they're just too tired to fight. Too tired to fight. That describes probably some of you in your marriage. The absence of strife does not mean you're at peace. It means you're just too tired to fight. Don't raise your hand. Don't. Your marriage has not healed. You're just resting to reload. Your family has not reconciled. You're just resting until round 10 can get started. Peace is not absolute tranquility. Peace is not detachment from risk and responsibility. Peace is not total security. Peace is not the absence of tension, the blue haven of the untroubled life. In this world, there's no such thing as total security or absence of tension. To pray for peace, meaning refuge from risk and responsibility, is to pray for the peace of death. There is no peace in withdrawal or retreat from life. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your task. Fulfill your divine assignment. There are giants for you to fight and defeat. There are mountains for you to climb. There are powers and principalities for you to conquer. There are races for you to run. There are victories to be won. You can be a champion for Christ wherever you are because you have the strength of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God to be a victorious person in a world. Christianity is the call to life, not death. Christianity is not escapism, it's involvement. Christianity is transforming adversity into opportunity. It's snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Christianity is giving and forgiving. Christianity is fighting the good fight of faith. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Say that with me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Christianity is knowing nothing is impossible to those that believe. Christianity is to count it all joy in the trials of life. Christianity is singing in the jail with Paul and Silas, with blood running down your back, knowing that the victory is coming and God is going to deliver you. The victory is ours through Christ the Lord, wherever you are, whatever battle you're in right now, whatever crisis you are facing, I assure you that if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are going to be victorious in this battle. Listen, from 66 years of ministry, I can tell you, you can be happier in the combat zone than you can the comfort zone. Quit looking for the comfort zone. Gun up and go get the devil and his crowd. You can be happier in the lion's den with Daniel than in the king's palace, pacing the floor, sucking a Maalox bottle. You can be happier in the fiery furnace with the fourth man in the fire than outside bowing down with those moral cowards before that statue. Quit looking for Maalox and dialing 911. There's more peace in the battle than there is sitting on the sideline. Get in the fight. Get in the fight. Peace is won by accompanying God into the battle. I'm going to say that one more time. Peace is won accompanying God into the battle. When you go into the battle for righteousness' sake, God Almighty is right beside you. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the battle to save your business, to save your marriage, your health, your family, and our nation. There is peace in the hour of death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. How many of you are believers in Christ?
You are never going to die. Your last breath here is going to be your first breath there. Bang! You are in the presence of God forever. There's peace in the time of storm. Jesus Christ is the master of the winds and the waves that are about to destroy you. Peace be still. God will use the thing that terrifies you, the winds and the waves, to bless you and to save you. There is peace in the darkest valley. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Let me tell you that a shadow is harmless. The shadow of a lion cannot bite you. The shadow of a snake cannot harm you. The shadow of a sword cannot cut you. Shadow is a harmless thing. Therefore, death is the valley of the shadow of death. Walking through that valley of death is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Giver of Life, the divine escort to the gates of heaven. Because Christ lives, you shall live also. Give him praise in the house. Peace is the gift of God. Let me shock you. It was never God's plan for there to be universal peace. Never. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace. I have come to bring a sword." A sword divides. Jesus is a divider. Everyone in this church who has received Christ knows that. When you receive Christ, you step from the clutches of the world into the arms of righteousness and the rules of righteousness. Jesus Christ divides, separates wheat from tares. He separates sheep from goats. He separates light from darkness. He separates the broad way from the narrow way. He separates the word of truth from Satan's deception. You are either the servant of Jesus Christ or you are a slave to sin and Satan. That's the word of God, not my word. That's straight out of the Bible. Authored by the Holy Spirit of God. You are either a servant of Christ or you are a slave to sin and certain, period. Which are you? Which are you? Paul said in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace is the gift of God. Say that with me. Peace is the gift of God. Without total surrender to Jesus Christ, you will never experience peace. I'm talking about total surrender. Angels sang on the first Christmas morning in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The Greek text reads more accurately, "Peace on earth to those of whom God approves." Peace on earth of whom those God approves. Peace is impossible without God's approval. Isaiah 57:20 says, "And the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters stir up the mire and the dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked." Think about that. The idea of universal peace for a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, pleasure-loving world enslaved by greed and materialism is an absolute pipe dream. Why? Because peace is the gift of God, and he gives it only to those who bow their knee to Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Peace is the opposite of hatred. It is absolutely true that the most expensive thing in all of the world is hatred. Look at the byproducts of hatred. Look at the wars, the racial prejudice, the divorces, the riots in the streets of the nations of the world. The anti-Semitism that's infecting America, the slander, which is the assassination of another person's character, suicide, which is a manifestation of self-hatred. How can these things ever be eradicated? Certainly not with more bombs and fighter jets. Not by socialist political panaceas pouring out of Washington, D.C. Not more laws, not more counselors, but by every man and every woman being a peacekeeper. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall become the sons, shall be called the sons of God." Where is peace found? Where is it found? Nowhere in the Bible is peace sought as the end and goal of existence. Peace is the consequence of something. Peace is the consequence of something. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Say that with me. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is the fruit of reconciliation. St. Paul said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There can be no peace of mind until there is peace with God. In every man's heart, there lurks hunger for righteousness. Uneasiness in the heart is the sense of guilt. It is useless to sweep your guilt under the rug or to take it to a seashore and sit in a chair watching the water for 4 hours every day like somebody we know that used to be in the White House. Or the mountains of Shangri-La of some forgetfulness. Guilt is from within. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, stop, turn around, kneel at the cross, confess your sin, your soul will be regenerated. Our generation has dismissed the whole idea of guilt, of forgiveness, of conscience, of moral responsibility. We have sought to rearrange our attitudes, to manipulate our emotions, to banish evil without quitting evil, and to get peace of mind without moral price, to get the gifts of God without the need of God. I want you to hear that. To get the gifts of God without the need of God. Adjustment is the new gospel in America. Accept your sins. You really can't rise above them. All of us have sinned. We know that. Just God bless you. We're all going to the same heaven, and it'll all be all right. Just keep right on doing what you're doing. No, that's all wrong. You find Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life, and you kiss Satan goodbye. Listen to me. Alibis for your failure do not remove the pains of your conscience. Your conscience is God's umpire sitting in the middle of your brain screaming, stop it, stupid! And when you become so insensitive you can't hear that, your life is literally controlled by evil. Adam and Eve alibied about their sin. Adam said to God, this woman you gave me, that's why I did it. Don't raise your hands. Eve said, the snake, he did it. Listen, men feel guilty because they are guilty. The sense of guilt is a divine gift. It's the voice of God screaming, stop it. Too many are trying to get adjusted to their sin rather than getting converted from their sin. There's a lot of difference between those. They're having their sins explained rather than forgiven. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to this verse. Whosoever confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy with the Lord. He does what? He forsakes his sin. Shock you. Quit praying for peace and start praying for righteousness. You cannot have peace when you are at war with God. If your inner self cries for peace, it's possible only if you reconcile to serve Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Peace is the fruit of responsibility. It's the result of facing the challenges of life, not fleeing the risk of life. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." The situation, when did Jesus speak those words? Not in some ivory tower of detachment, but in the upper room, the night before he was to be crucified by the Roman Empire. The night before the greatest battle of his life, with all the powers of hell trying to destroy his soul, Jesus did his duty. He went to the cross. He suffered. He bled. He died. He defeated the foes. He defeated the powers and principalities of Satan for you and for you and for you and for me, so that we could live a victorious life over all of those things. The Bible is a book that says, do your duty. Moses did his duty. He faced Pharaoh. He led Israel for 40 years. He lived to be 120 and walked to his own funeral. Wow. Joshua did his duty. He marched around Jericho 7 times and he shouted until the walls fell down flat. The walls of Jericho were thick and powerful. They were an expression of military readiness and the ability to withstand any foe. But when Joshua got around the 7th time, all of Israel gave a shout, and those walls that were impossible crumbled. Yes! Did you ever think about having a victory shout in faith for what God is doing for you? Why don't you do that right now? Just give the Lord a good shout. David did his duty. He fought and killed Goliath. David fought 18 battles for Israel, and he won them all. St. Paul did his duty. He fought the good fight. He walked to the chopping block in confidence. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." He was beaten to a bloody pulp by the Roman whip 3 times. He was stoned and left for dead in the streets of Jerusalem because he preached that Christ was divine. He was shipwrecked fighting for survival. He was put in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was dishonored by evil reports, having nothing and yet possessing all things. He said, "These light afflictions," listen to that, "these light afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the glory of the crown of life that God is going to give to me, but not only to me, to those at Cornerstone Church who fight the good fight, who endure to the end. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Paul did his duty. Have we done our duty for God and country? Stop worrying about corruption. Corruption, conquer it. Conquer it. Crush it. I'm serious. Fight back. Peace is the fruit of righteousness. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. World peace. How does it come? Peace on earth will come from the Prince of Peace and no place else. The Prince of Peace is the world's righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The end of the collapse of the traditional family is righteousness. Righteousness. It's for the father to be the head of the family. You provide for your family. You provide for your children. I don't care how much you make and all that you're doing. If you've walked off and left your wife and children by themselves, you're worthless. You're worthless. The government does not owe you a living. It owes you the opportunity to make a living. You deserve nothing until you work for it. That's in this book. Right now, President Trump is fighting people in Washington, D.C. that are on the payroll and not showing up for work. The Bible says, he who does not work shall not eat. God bless you, Mr. President. Keep after it. Peace is the fruit of repentance. The last word of our Lord to the church was not the Great Commission. The last word of our Lord to the church was in Revelation 2:5. He says, repent or else. Repent or else. That was his command 5 out of 7 times to the 7 churches of Asia. And that probably holds true to today. 5 out of 7 Christians in churches today, first of all, need to repent. Cafeteria Christianity has become an American theology. I will not take, please me, and ignore the rest. When you go through a cafeteria, you like this. You like this. You like this, and all of that is fattening. And there's something inside you really don't need that. I mean, you can't breathe right now. But you just keep on taking things that destroy you. When you reject what's in here, you are taking in things that destroy you. The times in America are desperate, but the church is not. Our churches are full, but of what? Stand up, church. The battle rages for the soul of this nation. We are in a fight. Our president is in a fight. Put him in your prayers because he certainly needs them. Let's get back to the Ten Commandments. Let's take back our public schools. Let's take back the rule of law. Let's put the criminals in prison and leave them there. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Compromise with evil is treason in the courts of heaven. I want to say that again. Compromise with evil is treason in the courts of heaven. Peacemaking is proactive. It's the decision to do something, not just dream about it. You hear people say, wouldn't it be nice if something X, Y, Z could happen? You can make it happen. You can make it happen. You and your friends get together and make it happen. If peace is ever realized, it will be made through conscious, persistent, sacrificial effort. We must do more than dream of peace in our churches, in our marriages, in our homes. We must make peace. We must make peace. It is impossible for all to make fortunes. We cannot all have great names. We can all do something far better. We can make for peace. You can make peace in your marriage. Oh, I just can't forgive my husband. Wrong. You chose him. And get your home in divine order. Father, you are the leader of your house, according to St. Paul, Ephesians 5. I'm going to read it straight out of the Bible. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wife, you submit to your husband's leadership. Husbands, while I'm saying this and asking your wife to follow you, Let me tell you, you cannot follow a parked car. Get yourself in gear and start leading. Peacemakers are called children of God. You can win an argument and lose a friend. No one can be a peacemaker who does not know the Prince of Peace. The way to take America back from racial division and social and moral corruption and the spiritual collapse is to make peace with God and with each other, to love your neighbor as yourself. Our frustration comes when we reverse the order. We want peace without righteousness. We want the gifts of God without the rule of God. We want the fruit without planting the tree. In this age of chaos in America, we need to heed the word of Jesus Christ, who said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, peace, love, joy, shall be added unto you." I say this in closing. You want peace, real peace, peace that lasts in your marriage, in your family, in your heart, in the country. Take responsibility for your life and your decision. Seek righteousness and peace will come. To those who are here and those who are watching by television across America, God wants you to live a joyful, happy, peaceful life. You can do it with Christ as Lord of your life. Can we stand together, congregation? How many of you can say, "Pastor, I don't have peace in my home, in my family, in my marriage, or in my life"? If that describes you, would you slip your hand up right where you are? God bless you. Some of you don't have peace of mind. You live in stress and worry and apprehension concerning the problems that surround you. You need to turn those problems over to Jesus and say, "I want you to show me the way to solve this." How many of you have that situation in your life? Lastly, you have raging emotions that control you. Anger, resentment, sorrow, things that have happened in your past or maybe in your present that simply are destroying you as a person. All you have to do is turn this over to the Lord and let him be your leader. You let him be the shepherd and you be the sheep. He knows the way through the wilderness. How many of you in this room feel alone? You don't have hope. You've tried and failed. Your life is spinning out of control. You want the peace of God. If that defines you, would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Hundreds have raised your hands. Let me pray this prayer for you. And if you raise your hand for any of this, I want you to just raise your hand toward the Lord. Lift your hands toward the Lord. That's it. It's a part of your faith. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be my leader. I want you to lead me in paths of righteousness that will produce abundance for my family. I want you to be the Lord of our family, the Lord of our marriage, the Lord of our children. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Matt, can we sing?
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows.
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. May the peace that he gives you totally, completely gives you the absolute solutions to every crisis that you are facing in your life. Let Jesus Christ from this moment forward be the Prince of Peace in your life, so that every day and every hour of every day can be one of accomplishment, one of joy, one of peace that surpasses all understanding. Receive this blessing in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.